All right, good morning. Welcome to Stuttgart Harvest Church. I'm glad to see you this morning. Here's where we kind of left off last week. The only response that Jesus accepts for his offer of all-inclusive grace is all-inclusive obedience. It's an answer of an all-inclusive yes. That's what he accepts. And that's what we talked about last week. And I would encourage you, if you have missed last week or the week before, I would encourage you to use that QR code on the front of your, on a chair in front of you, to get the online worship guide, because at the very top of the online worship guide, there's a link to download our app. And on the app, you can get and stay caught up on all the teachings we do. And there's some important things we talked about in the first 2 weeks. I would encourage you to jump back and listen to that. Because we kind of have it backwards in the United States. We are going to take a second look at kind of what we were talking about last week, and we're doing that today. We looked last week at a few real life examples of God's all-inclusive grace, and it was an invitation that he gave to people, and he offered it to them, but something went wrong with that process. We said last week, their butt got in the way. They said, I will follow you, Jesus, but not there, Jesus, and not like that. I will follow you, Jesus, but not if it's going to be uncomfortable. I will follow you, Jesus, but I really have some other things I want to do first. So, Jesus, you're going to have to be okay with taking second place in my life. Now, how did Jesus respond to that? It was basically this. No, that is not how it works, Jesus told them. That kind of following, if you're going to follow like that, that's not going to get you into the kingdom of God, is what Jesus said. But in America, we have interpreted what Jesus said, we have interpreted it so passively, so weakly, that we have turned Jesus into a beggar, just looking for someone to follow him, just begging that people will turn around and follow him, just looking for anyone who might just accept poor Jesus and his message. Like Jesus is begging to be accepted. Like Jesus is begging for friends. As if Jesus will just take what he can get, no matter if he has to take second place or even third place in somebody's life. And that type of American Christianity was simply not found among the true followers of Jesus as we look at the stories and the life and the biography of Jesus in scriptures. Now, I'm guessing that that phrase makes us uncomfortable today. And it should make us uncomfortable. Because we like to take the call of Jesus, you know, that call of Jesus where he says to all the people around him, that call where he says this, he says, from then on, this is in Matthew 4, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And we like to take that and we like to say, well, you know, Jesus isn't really asking for my all. He just wants me to believe. He just wants me to fully agree with him. Here, really, he wants me to mentally agree. Yes, Jesus, this is right. You are the way. He's not really calling for all of this, all of this. And so we interpret what Jesus says in such a way that it makes his call so weak that it means all we have to do is agree with Jesus using our words. He's not really wanting all of me. I mean, he might, but he's okay with taking what I give him, taking what he can get. So if I will at least just say some things right, he'll take it. Now, if that line of thinking is wrong, then that should make us uncomfortable, because it appears that is what many Americans have held on to: knowledge without transformation from obedient surrender. This morning, we want to look at another real life example this week, just to see if we can make some more sense out of this call from Jesus that we receive, this all-inclusive grace that he offers us. And this is a world famous example. So if you're not familiar with this example, let me give you a heads up. You might want to hang on tight, put on your seatbelt this morning. And for that matter, if you are familiar with this story, I would probably encourage you to put your seatbelt on too this morning. We're going to look at this story. It's found in Matthew chapter 19. And here's how Matthew records it for us. Just then, someone came up and asked him, "Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life?" he said. And then Jesus responds, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" he said to him. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." "Well, which ones?" he asked him. Jesus answered, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "I have kept all of these," the young man told him. Now, apparently, the young man was not around when Jesus delivered what's called the Sermon on the Mount, because that is where Jesus really made it very clear what those commandments meant for real. He probably wasn't there, because he certainly has broken them. But the young man, knowing there is something I am missing, I'm not sure what it is, he asked, "What do I still lack?" he said. So he wants to talk about this. He wants to talk about it. Now, I believe this, that the evil one does want you to just keep talking about it and discussing it, maybe even asking questions about all this. Anything that he can do to keep you and to make it to where you can avoid ever having to actually do anything with it. So keep talking about it long enough and you won't have to do anything with it. You won't actually have to be obedient to Jesus. And Jesus is looking past these questions from this young man, and he's looking squarely at what this young man is holding on to tightly. So I have with me the slalom ski this morning. So you may not be a ski enthusiast, like a pro like I am not. And but it just to represent, he's holding on to something, the young man is. And Jesus knows exactly what he's holding on to. He knows exactly what it is. And here is what happens as Jesus has this interaction. He goes past the questions right to what this guy's holding on to. Verse 21. "If you want to be perfect," because Jesus knows where this man's faith actually is. Jesus said to him, "Go and sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." In other words, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to do something here. Whatever you're holding on to, young man, you have to let go. You've got to let go of that. And in place, you're going to, let's see if I can hold it up in the right direction this week. You are going to have to, in its place, give me your all. You're going to have to let go of that. And with both hands, with all of your life, you're going to have to grab onto me. This is all inclusive. Now, Jesus is claiming divine authority by saying, young man, the law can't save you. You cannot save you. Only I, Jesus, is saying, can save you. And the command from Jesus is this invitation that he's giving is very clear. He is saying, follow me. Let go of whatever it is you've been holding tightly. Let go of that and cling to, follow me. Follow me now, is what he's saying. And that command and that invitation is clear. Jesus is saying there's something to do. Follow me. The ultimate sum of all the commands that we find of Jesus are this. If we just boiled them all down to one phrase, it's follow Jesus. And in order to do that, there is simple obedience. We actually have to follow him. There's no other option that he gives us. It is simple obedience or it is simple disobedience. We must let go of what we're holding on to and follow. Or don't follow. I mean, we don't have to follow. Let go and follow, or don't follow. And just keep holding on to whatever it is you're holding on to. That is all-inclusive grace. Simply, all-inclusive obedience is what's required. Now, Jesus is saying it's time to stop talking about these commands. It's time to stop talking, and it's time to get on and move on with your faith. Actually having obedience, actually clinging to Christ. So here's how the conversation continues. This is what happens, verse 22. When the young man heard that command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. So he went away grieving. He was sad. And I guess he was sad because, you know what? He knew. It's like, I know I should let go and I should grab hold of Jesus with all my life and I should follow. I should, but I'm not. I'm choosing to keep my faith right where it is. I am making a choice to walk away, even though I should cling to Jesus. I should cling to you, Jesus. You asked me to, and it was not a fake invitation. You really asked me to follow you. You meant it. As much as he meant it when he talked to Matthew and he talked to James and John and the other disciples, as much as he meant it for them, he meant it for this young man. Jesus wasn't playing. And so he knew. He wants me to, but I am saying no. I will do anything for you, Jesus. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, so now he's not talking, this guy's gone. He turns around, talks to his disciples who did say yes. Jesus said to his disciples, I assure you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, when the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished, and they asked, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them, and he said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, let's freeze there for just a moment. All right, let's freeze there. With God, all things are possible. This is where Americans exclude ourselves and we give ourselves a pass because clearly, I'm not rich. Jesus isn't talking about me. I mean, we got bills to pay, right? But think with me for just a moment. If you make at least $10 a day, you are more wealthy than most of the world population. If you arrived here today in an automobile or some kind of mechanized transportation, even a bicycle, then you are loaded compared to most of the world. Now let's take it up a notch. If you make at least $18,250 a year, you are in the top 7% compared to the rest of the world outside of the United States. The top 7% in the world. You are more wealthy than 93% of the rest of the world. Now tell me, 7%er, when Jesus says it's difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, why is it that we always look to the millionaires and billionaires and we point them out and we're like, yes, Jeff Bezos, Jesus is talking to you and your buddies, your rich friends. When 93% of the world makes less than you, our American version of following Jesus says, oh yes, Elon Musk, Jesus has your number. Rich man, not me. I am broke compared to Elon Musk. That's what we say, and we are. Yeah, that's true. We are broke compared to Elon Musk, and yet 93% of the world is broke compared to you. And yet we say, oh yeah, I'll follow you, Jesus. Just don't mess with my money, Jesus. I will follow you, but don't mess with my money. I'm not rich. I have bills to pay. I will follow you anywhere, Jesus, but there. You can have my Sunday for an hour or two on Sunday. That should be enough. Well, at least, Jesus, that's my offer anyway. That's what I'm going to offer you. I'll give you an hour, but don't expect much of this, Jesus. Nuh-uh. Don't expect much of this. Don't expect much of this, huh? Don't expect much. That's my watch, by the way. Don't expect, Jesus, don't expect much of this. Don't expect much of my calendar. No, not much more than that. You got an hour on Sunday. You can get her done. Don't expect much of that stuff, Jesus, but I'll give you a lot of this. I'll give you a lot of talking, Jesus. I'll give you a lot of words. A lot of words, Jesus. Amen. I'll even share a lot of Facebook posts, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus, amen. We are great. I am too. So when I say we, I mean we. We are great at explaining away the all-inclusive grace of Jesus, which demands all-inclusive obedience, and we explain it away, and we come up with our own American version of following Jesus, which where we really don't have to actually follow Jesus. And it's absurd. We do this with Jesus, but we don't do this in other areas of our life. If our boss says, work starts at 8 a.m. Be here and be ready. We don't reinterpret that and say, okay, let's see. She said that work starts at 8, but she knows. She also said to show up and be ready. She knows if I have to get up and early enough to be ready by 8 after playing video games all night, I'm not going to be ready. But I will probably be able to show up about 12:30 and be much more ready for my day. So what she really means when she says work starts at 8, she really absurd. We know it is. We don't do that with our boss. We don't do that with our parents. We don't do that with school. We don't do that with our spouse. But almost always, we do that with the all-inclusive grace call of Jesus. We think he doesn't really mean my all. Why do we think that we can negotiate with God? It is absurd. I want to be very clear. obedience, my everything, my all, this is not salvation by works. This is not something that we do in order to earn our place in heaven. Because we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And what the rich man does not save him. But what the rich man does reveals who or what he has faith in. Everything depends upon where you place that faith. It's all about the who. Faith in Jesus is the only response to an all-inclusive grace call of Jesus. We can't, but Jesus said God can. With him, all things are possible. But we can't. But he is willing to give us what we need in order to take that step of faith where we place our all-inclusive faith in Jesus. But listen, he won't make you. He invites you. He really did invite this young man. He really did mean it. It was not a fake invitation. It was not a bait and switch. He was not pretending. If he invites, he means it. This was a real invitation, but he leaves that response to you. He will give you what you need in order to take that step. But you have to take the step. And in this case, the guy he knew, and he understood this was an all-inclusive grace that Jesus was placing out there for him. And it required one response, all-inclusive obedience, where he lets go of whatever he was holding on to and he grabs on to with all of his life that all-inclusive grace. So we will either follow or we will not follow. And he walked away sad. He didn't follow. He placed his faith in himself and in what he had and in what he wanted to keep, not Jesus. And as difficult as it is to walk away from what we know and walk away into the unknown, as difficult as it is to write Jesus a blank check with our lives, here, Jesus, you can have all my life. You can have my all. It's all inclusive. It's a blank check, my life. As difficult as that is, Jesus guarantees that with God, even that step is possible. He will give you what you need in order to give God your all-inclusive life. But the young man, he walked away. Walked away from Jesus, walked away from the invitation, and it says he was sad. Because Jesus demands that you let go of whatever you're gripping right now. We all grab onto different things. Some things hurt us. They're evil. We grab onto them anyway. Some things are good. Sometimes we're grabbing onto our family and saying, Jesus, you got to get behind my family. My family's first. We all have different things that we hold on to tight. And Jesus requires us to let that go and to cling to, rely on him, Jesus alone. It is all exclusive every time. And this blows the disciples' minds. They have to ask Jesus when they hear this. So who can be saved? Now, since America seems to be holding on to the same thing that this rich guy was holding on to, we should be asking that same question. Then who can be saved, Jesus, in America? Because we're holding on to that and even more. I mean, we're holding on to our weekends and our dating life, and we're holding on to our hobbies, even our family. I already said that, more than Jesus. So we should ask Jesus, who can be saved in America? And the answer is no one except through Jesus Christ. It's absurd to hold on to anything other than Jesus. Let's quickly contrast that with another real life example. And this is another famous example, and you are probably familiar with this story. This is another real life example. So here it goes. Here's the setup. The disciples are in a boat. It's in the middle of the night. Jesus is not there, and a great storm comes up, and they've been fighting that storm for hours. They're stuck. They can't get further. The boat is about to sink. They're terrified. Here's what happens. Matthew 14, verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It is a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he says. "Take courage, I am here." And then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus answers him in verse 29, the most famous words possibly among them in Scripture, and it should mean something to us. He says, "Yes, come." And at that moment, in that instant, Jesus offers him this invitation. And to answer that invitation, Peter can't just stay in the boat and think about it. He says, "Jesus, if this is really you, tell me to come." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, it's really me. Come on, Peter, come now." You can't just sit there and think about it. At that moment, when you get the call, when Jesus says, "Come," you don't get to then say, "Oh, great. I believe it's you, Jesus. Cool. Nice. Okay, Jesus, I'm good now. I'll just believe from here. Good. It's really you. I'll just believe from here. Inside the boat." You can only know and think about obedience by actually doing it. And it's an all-inclusive step. It is all of you. We can only learn what obedience is by actually obeying. You don't really learn the truth by talking about it. Only through obedience can you really learn the truth. You see, cheap grace allows all kinds of categories of Christians. So cheap grace has a category. It's kind of a normal, regular, everyday Christian, which is, we'd be like, yeah, that's most of us, that category. Cheap grace says there's the normal, everyday Christian. And they just have to agree, this is real, this is true. But then cheap grace has a second category of Christian, and they would say this second category is the hyper-committed Christian, and they do actually go all in with Jesus, and that's left to like missionaries, some pastors, extremists, professionals, right? But here's the truth. Jesus only has one call. Jesus only has one category. And there's only one answer to his all-inclusive grace. And the answer is all-inclusive obedience. Bonhoeffer, the great theologian, said this: "Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes." And that is the very same thing. We can't really give Bonhoeffer credit for that because James wrote about that. James chapter 2, verse 14, he says the same thing James said it first. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? He goes on. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But James says, I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? But I say, okay. This is not the way it works, James is saying. He then says, I will show you my faith, show it to you. How? By my good deeds. He goes on, verse 19, if you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, great. He says, good for you. Even the demons believe this. And they tremble in terror. It's not something that happens here. He said, how foolish. Can't you see, James says, that faith without good deeds is useless? So like Bonhoeffer said, only he who believes is obedient. And only he who is obedient believes, because it is all inclusive. And Jesus gives you what you need in order to respond that way with the all inclusive yes to Jesus, the all inclusive yes of followership. Jesus is clear. It is a simple call that we in America have watered down. It's a simple call which demands a clear, simple response. And the response is, yes, Jesus, obedience to Jesus. And that step actually required Peter to let go of the boat, to get out of his seat, to let go of what he was holding on to tightly, and to step out and to follow, to cling to Jesus. And here's how that happened. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. Now both Peter and the rich young man were faced with a simple alternative. All-inclusive obedience. I'm going to let go of obedience I'm holding on to. And I'm going to grab onto Jesus with all-inclusive obedience. Or the other choice, which he will let us choose, is disobedience. And all of America needs to hear this. Jesus meant business. Both the rich young ruler and Peter were to let go of everything and follow Jesus, to let go of everything and rely upon Christ's words, to let go of everything and rely on, cling to Christ alone. What does the all-inclusive grace of Jesus demand? A response, an all-inclusive obedience for you. How do we describe that? Maybe we can describe it like this. The response is an all-inclusive yes from us. Because Jesus knows what you're holding on to rather than him. I don't know what you're holding on to. I know what my struggles are, but I don't know what you're holding on to, but Jesus knows. We seem to be okay with a no-loss commitment to Jesus. Here's what I mean by that. If Jesus said to me, Harley, follow me to Bass Pro. I'll get you there. And I say, great. I want to go to Bass Pro. I mean, I've been planning to go to Bass Pro. I love shopping. Okay. Let's go. Is that really being obedient? I mean, maybe, perhaps. But if Jesus said, oh, okay, here's how we're going to get there. Follow me through the scary unknown, Harley. I'm going to take you through the storms. I'm going to take you through Southwest Little Rock, through the ganglands. I'm going to take you through the places where they make their own rules and they live by the power of the gun and the power of greed rules. I'm going to take you that way. Nah, I'm not really interested in going that way. Jesus, that way is going to cost me too much. I'm going to have to let go of my comfort, let go of the things that I really want. I don't want to let go of my comfort. I don't want to let go of my safety or my security. No, Jesus, I won't follow you like that. But there is where real obedience is. It's following Jesus with a yes into the scary unknown. He who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. And it's all inclusive. And Jesus gives you what you need in order to follow him, but you must let go of what you're holding on to tightly right now. And he knows what it is. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us grasp this and understand. Get this. God, I pray that there is someone here right now who wants to get this right from the very start. They've been thinking about following you. They have been considering following you. And right now, their heart, because they feel you calling them, your spirit calling them, saying, come, follow me. And at this moment, they're saying, yes, Jesus, I understand this. I want to follow you, and I am all in. You and your grace died for all of me and all of my sins. And Jesus, at this very moment, for the first time, I am giving you this whole life. I'm saying, Jesus, I was the boss of me, and now you are the boss of me. I declare it so because you died for me. You purchased me. And God, I pray for that person right now. I pray that you would give them the courage to let us know. Give them the courage to put that on a connection card. Give them the courage to say, yes, that's me. For the first time, I am all in. And Jesus, I pray for that person this morning who has actually been following you. But they have been holding back very specific parts of their lives. They've been holding back something. Their dating life, their views on sex and marriage. They've been holding back something. I don't know what it is, Jesus, but you have spoken through your spirit to their heart. They've been holding on to their money. They've been holding on to security. They've been holding on to a relationship. I don't know what it is. I know what it was for me, Jesus, and I know what it is as I still struggle to this day. But Jesus, as you speak to their heart, they're saying, I've been following, but I've been holding back. And at this moment, Jesus, I want to say to you, I am saying yes. No matter what step you're going to ask me to take in the future, it is scary and unknown to me, but I say yes, Jesus, yes. Now lead me one step at a time. And Jesus, I pray for that one who through all of this, in this very moment, they are still saying, no. No, Jesus, no. And Jesus, I ask that however you do it, please don't give up. Don't stop. Don't stop calling them. Call them this week. Call them every day this week. And I pray that at some point their heart will surrender to you with an ultimate Jesus. Yes. Yes. Jesus. Yes. And Jesus, it is in your name, the name of God, the name of our Messiah, the name of our Savior, that we pray these things. Amen.